Welcome to the Futile Podcast. And tonight, from sometime in the past, I don't know, when was it made? When was Battle Royale made? I want to pronounce it like Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese.
Anyway, it's the Japanese film Battle Royale.
Does Marcellus Wallace look like a bitch?
A class runs around an island killing each other.
You make it sound way more simple than it is.
I know, that's the thing, is you, I always heard about it, and I had thought, like...
That's what you thought.
No, I had thought that it was going to be, yeah, that it was more goofy and poor production value and just, like, ridiculous. But it ends up being, yeah, it takes itself fairly seriously and ends up kind of almost managing to work in some places. Did we figure that they were probably, like, 14, like, freshmen?
I think they're a ninth grade class. I'm not sure how grades work in Japan.
Right.
Let's see. It was made in... Oh, that's the novel. Hang on.
There was a novel? Yeah, was it a novel light novel or was it a novel?
No, novel. 2000, the film was. The novel was 99.
Oh, wow. That was a quick turnaround.
Koshun Takami.
We get Beat Takeshi in this. Yeah, Takeshi. As the teacher.
Katana. Then a whole bunch of no names.
Well, I wouldn't know
that. Exactly. I wouldn't know. I didn't recognize any of them.
I'm not as boned up on my modern foreign cinema as I should be. Or any foreign cinema.
Yeah, so Battle Royale with cheese. I saw it back in the days when it was banned. And, you know, it wasn't banned because of content. It was banned because of distribution rights.
Oh.
So it just, you couldn't see it. Right. Because it wasn't distributable. And I remember being pretty impressed because I had heard about it and people were talking about how cool it was and stuff. And I don't know. I like violence. And it definitely has violence in it. There's some of the violence is pretty rough. And just the idea of kids killing each other is always kind of frightening. Something frightening about that. Because, you know, you get to see the beast come out of a lot of these people. I'm sure it spoke to you.
Of course.
The beast being let out. Whether due to fear or whatever else. But, you know, there's some interesting aspects to it. The idea is that of 1997...
Wait a minute.
That's when the book was set. I don't know when the movie was set.
The book was written in 99 and set in 97? Yeah. In, like, an alternative reality past future?
And,
that doesn't make any sense.
And unemployment is at an all-time high.
It was, like, 18% or something?
It was, like, 13 or something. Right. Like, the same ours is. And there's, like, riots... Kids are leaving schools left and right. They don't want to go to school anymore. And so, to make people shape up, they have a lottery where one lucky ninth grade class is chosen once a year and sent to different locations. And they all have to kill each other within 3 days. And then the winner, lives.
The lone survivor.
The lone survivor. And they've
got
collars that will blow up. If various things
after
happen.
After
3 days, or if they trigger it themselves, or if they try to take it off, or if they're in the zones on the islands.
Yeah, that keep increasing.
Yeah, they keep increasing. And
so it forces them to keep them consolidate. Moving. And it gives them a time limit. So it's all got the time limit stuff built in.
And they've got these sacks that they give them with a couple of provisions, which you thought was hilarious because it was bread and water.
It was just straight up a loaf of bread and like three bottles of water.
Right. And then weapons. And there's some pretty good stuff in there in terms of like they watch some cutesy woman in like the pseudo army costume on the TV explain the game to them.
Yeah.
And Takeshi's really... Beat Takeshi was like... talking to the person on TV.
Yeah, and
he was really funny in it. Like, you could tell he was hamming it up a little bit. But he's just so deadpan all the time. You can't tell if he's hamming it up or not. And then he's super funny at the end, too. But
the great thing is that, like, they get all kinds of different weapons.
Yeah. And so one kid who's kind of the protagonist gets a pot lid.
Yeah, exactly. There's a pot lid.
Somebody got binoculars.
Somebody got a tracker.
Yep.
Like, some of them are, like, not useful for, some are useful for defense, some are useful for offense, obviously. Like, whoever gets like the machine gun, you'd think would win the day, but that isn't always the case. And the crazy guy gets it. And that's like the weird two ringers they have. They have like one kid that like just totally wants to do it. Like he volunteers to be added to the class or something.
Yeah, he wants to
kill. And he's just there, I guess, to be kind of the wild card or something.
He's the Charlie. He's the Charlie of the group.
I was surprised by how much sort of young love romance they worked into it, which I guess is kind of true.
It would have to be there. It was a ninth grade class. I guess
there's a lot of, oh, you're dating him. Oh, I like you, but you like so and so.
Everyone's talking about how the crushes they have on each other while they're dying. it was cool. And you know what's funny is we talked about this after we watched it, but I've always complained about anime and how awful the dialogue can get at times about the philosophical ruminations on the nature of love and being and stuff that is completely out of place in what's happening in the world, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I always just kind of thought that was a byproduct of the genre of anime, the overall genre of anime. But it's not. It's just a Japanese thing. Because in this movie, it happens exactly like it would in anime.
It's just an aspect of Japanese drama.
And I've seen other Japanese movies. I'm not going to say it happens in all of them. This one is obviously aimed toward a certain age group.
Right.
Which I think anime is as well. Because I've seen many serious, fantastic Japanese films where none of that happens. They're just great, straightforward films. I mean, Kurosawa was just a phenomenal filmmaker who wasn't, he didn't create any sort of tropes that were used in anime, but
no, not really,
except for the blood spray
the blood Sanjuro. Yoshiaki Kawajiri is a lot to Akira Kurosawa.
So I don't know, but like I said, I was saying I could watch the movie over and over because I would just love, I like to watch movies where people are forced to kill each other violently.
Yeah, I'd probably watch it again in like 5 years or something, but it'd have to be long enough to the point where I'd forgotten enough scenes. Because there's enough little scenes and enough things going on that like
there's some interesting stuff. There's groups of kids where
I don't think I would get
like
much more out of it, but there might be some bits that I wouldn't have notice the first time. But I definitely enjoyed it, and I mean, like I said, I got more out of it than I expected to get. I thought it would be kind of this like super satirical like kind of just downright played for laughs, wink at the camera goofiness, and the fact that it didn't do that but still managed to work is impressive.
Yeah,
as opposed to it feeling like, oh my god, this is so overwrought and stupid.
I'm interested to see what that sequel's like, because I'm sure it's terrible, but that's on Netflix. We gotta watch
that. Right, the sequel's on Netflix too. Well, the reason that the sequel could be interesting is because the two kids get away at the end, but they're like
they're on the run.
They're on the lam. So the question is like, do they just ignore those characters in the sequel and just do another round of Battle Royale, or do those characters come into play? I mean, I would probably give it a 3.5 out of 5.
Yeah, I think that's where it is.
Instead of just reliable and enjoyable and not, I mean, it's definitely different than the Hunger Games or whatever. People like comparing them and saying, I mean, there's similarities there because it's like children fighting and killing. But I think the Hunger Games, when it's set up, it kind of makes a little more sense. In this one, it doesn't really. It's like I don't see the direct correlation between, like, having a class of kids kill each other and like that improving the economy or pacifying the masses or like with the Hunger Games, they kind of do more with like the politics and the zones and the class structure and the wealth and everything.
Right.
I mean, that's really what it's more about.
Right.
Which kind of makes it more, more interesting. But yeah, this was just an interesting movie because of the kids just doing
kids,
and most of the kids like they did a good job of like there's a couple kids that are just frightened and they do what they do and they get killed and then
they like apologizing as they
there's
do it
some stuff, there's yeah. some and there's some that but most of them like try to like team up and be like, look, we can figure a way out around this and stuff, and then of course it falls apart. But for a while there, you have the kids that like get the generator going, get the laptop, because they also let them keep whatever they brought with them on the trip. So I guess that guy brought his computer with him and was able to like hack the system, which didn't make a lot of sense, but whatever. It was fun.
Don't think too hard about it.
No. Don't think too hard about that. Don't think too hard about Thor 2 and the fact that they go through that hole and it time warps them to the exact place where they need to be. Like, how would you, why didn't you use that to get to
right? Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any, it's just a plot convenience.
A lot of the movie was like that.
a couple of times that movie was definitely like that.
But then it got funnier, and there's things like when she finds the car keys in the cave.
Yeah.
And then they go back, and first, and instead of him just flying them somewhere, they get in the car and she's firing it up, and he's like sitting there all massive in his armor, just kind of looking around, and he asks her a question about the guy she was seeing, the Chris O'Dowd.
Yeah, yeah.
And then later when he has to get on the subway, mm-hmm. like those are the things that are hilarious.
I thought the subway was funny, but also at the same time I thought like, does he need the hammer to fly?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then that's why he needed to take the subway.
Yeah.
But you're right, with the car, he had the hammer. Right. I liked the hammer, the chasing the hammer part.
Right.
Because every time he'd warp out, then the hammer would start trying to fly into space.
That was really cool. Like there was some interesting...
like the idea that like that thing's going to find him wherever he goes.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And so that it made for a fun fight. I mean, have you... I've started listening to the John August Script Notes podcast. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you heard of that one. It's him and I guess one of the guys that wrote
Craig Mazin.
Yeah, some, you know, like The Hangover and stuff. Yeah. And when they were talking about, they were, I guess, it's something Lindelof's been saying, that that it's not the problem with Hollywood, not problem, whatever, like that it's not all of these, it's not, Lindelof's saying, it's not, the problems aren't all these things everyone else is saying. It's the problem of the big movie is that the big movie is the big movie. So it has to be the big problem every time, and that makes it hard. It basically sounded like, it's like, well, you're writing big movies, so write better big movies is the solution to the problem, not, like, complain about the fact that audiences want big movies. You know, like, so the event, every single time it has to be all of Earth that has to get destroyed, now it has to be the whole universe, now, it just gets so big that it stops having any kind of heartfelt meaning. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that has to be the case, because we've seen movies where a good writer can... in just a few scenes, in just a few minutes even, can give you a reason to care about a character, so that it can be that. But I mean, that's definitely a concern, I think. And that also makes me wonder about like the second Avengers. I feel like the second Avengers probably will also have the sophomore slump problem, because it's supposed to be about, it's like Age of Ultron or something. So it's basically going to be the event. And Ultron, I've always figured, isn't Ultron just kind of the same thing as like a Mezo or whatever for DC? Where it's like, it can just copy all their powers. It's just a robot that turns evil, kind of.
I don't know. Ultron has also got, like, daddy issues and stuff. But they don't have Hank Pym in...
I know. Apparently he's not going to build it. Ant-Man, which is the one that Edgar Wright is actually working on, I guess, now. So it seems like bad timing. And they just did an Age of Ultron Marvel story, but apparently it's not connected to that.
It's not.
So who knows? I feel like they've already said that Thanos isn't going to be in the second one.
Yeah, it's going to be in the third one.
So it'll be the third one after they've done the Guardians of the Galaxy to set it up and everything, probably to make it a big cosmic, whatever. So I feel like, I feel like Captain America, I'm hoping, will be really just a good like.
So are they going to do Infinity Gauntlet? Is that what they're going to do?
That's what they're going to do. They're going to do the Infinity Gauntlet story, probably combined with the new Hickman story, the Infinity story that's happening now.
Hmm.
Because that would probably make more sense to draw on more recent storylines and where the characters are at now, because that's what they're doing. They're writing to those kind of characters now anyway.
Thanos is good. I like, but that's another one where over a longer period of time, he's had times where he's almost like an anti-hero.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've never read much with him.
It's interesting. They definitely flesh him out more. And he's,
I mean, Thanos is just the dark seed of the Marvel Universe, because he's another Jack Kirby creation. Like him, right? Yeah, it's like exactly. So I mean, I don't know. I don't expect much from. I think the second Avengers movie will be a smaller story, which doesn't.
It should be about them doing a casino heist.
Right.
It's got that many characters in it already.
Of course it does. Yeah. Avengers 12, Avengers 13.